Now, how many of you, this is, come to Jesus time, this is truth time. How many of you watched the show Million Dollar Listing New York? Million Dollar Listing New York. It's a TV show. How many of you watch that? None of you except Rhonda and me. Well, yesterday it was really bad. Okay, because see, one of the main million-dollar real estate salesmen on the show is named Ryan. And Ryan is getting married to some lady whose name I don't know.
Amelia.
Amelia. Look. Oh, no, wait. Oh, that was both. Wait. Somebody was not truthful when I asked who watches the show, because a lot of you know the fiance's name, okay? How do you get such information if you don't tune in? Uh-huh. See, can I just tell you, the basis for what's going to happen here is honesty, okay? You got to get honest or it ain't going to work. So let's go back, okay? Now, okay, so Ryan and Amelia are going to get married. And yesterday, they had this really big problem, okay? See, Amelia is apparently a Greek Orthodox person who does not practice her religion, okay? And she wants to get married in the Greek Orthodox Church, which is okay with the priest because she is a Greek Orthodox. The problem in the marriage is Ryan, okay? Because Ryan knows that he was baptized but doesn't know where or what he is. Because, as he kept saying throughout the program, religion is just not important to me. Okay? And she agreed. Wasn't important to her either, except she wanted to get married in the church because it would please her father. Not him, her earthly father. So Ryan asked his mother where he was baptized. And she couldn't really give him a lot of information except that they were congregational. Okay, there is a congregational church. Okay, they're apparently part of that church. Now, I'm going to tell you, I was like, okay, if you don't know where you were baptized, you ain't nothing. Okay, the least thing you are is a Christian. And I'm going to go one step further here. You ready for this? Your baptism does not make you a Christian. And if religion is not important in the guidance of your life, you are not part of Christ. Okay, and you might as well not get married in the church, Amelia, because it ain't going to do you any good anyway. You're going to end up in, yes, she is. And so is he, because they do not love Jesus. Pretty strong start for a sermon, right? Mm-hmm. See, three times in the very short passage of Scripture that Frank read in your hearing just a moment ago, Jesus says it. He says three times, if you love me, keep my commandments. Three times. Now, the first word of importance in what Jesus said is the word love. It is the Greek word agape. It means love in its highest and most sincere expression. It is the kind of love which is described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is the kind of love which would cause you to go to the cross for a bunch of sinners if God asked you to lay down your life for them. And that kind of love is a choice. By that I mean that it is not required, it cannot be compelled to love or not to love is a free will decision. And notice the second thing in Jesus' words are the object of love. The object of love in this case is Jesus. What that means is that we are free to choose to love Jesus or not to love Jesus. It's not something that happens to you automatically. It requires an informed decision on your part. What Jesus is telling us is that we all must ask the same question. Do we choose to love Jesus? We must, each one, decide for ourselves. Will I love Jesus or will I not love Jesus? And notice, third, our part in loving Jesus. The text makes it clear. If we love Jesus, we will show our love for him by keeping his commandments. We will show our love for him by obeying what he has taught us. Jesus also says that the converse is true. Means the opposite, not your tennis shoes. If you don't really love Jesus, you will choose not to obey Jesus. So, to love him is to obey him. The test of our love, the test of our devotion to Christ, is our obedience to his teachings. That's it. I can't put it to you more simply. It has nothing to do with your baptism. It has everything to do with how important religion is in your life. If you love Jesus, you will devote your life to the teachings of the Bible. All of them, not just the ones you happen to like. All of them. Jesus is the Word of God. He gave us the Bible through the Holy Spirit of God. Every teaching of the Bible, therefore, is a teaching of Jesus. And if we love him, we will choose to obey him. The problem is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All, I hate the little word all sometimes and I love it other times, because in the Bible, A-L-L means all, without exception. Okay, now when it's a good thing, I want to be part of the all. When it's a bad thing, I would prefer to be put out of it. But in this case, it's a bad thing, but I'm in it and so are you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that though we may choose to love God and even try to demonstrate our love for him in our obedience to his teachings, we can't be perfectly obedient because perfect obedience is not in us. Our nature is rebellious and sinful. Though we try with all we have to demonstrate our love for God in our obedience to the teachings of Jesus, we are doomed to failure because it is not in us to be perfectly bent to the will of God. The Bible tells us we all sin. None of us are perfectly obedient to the teachings of Jesus. Now here comes the good news. In his perfect love for us, Jesus fixed the problem. He asked the Father to send us an advocate. Now, don't get hooked up in the word here. The old word in the old translations is counselor. Okay, advocate is actually a better word because it is a legal word. It literally means a defense lawyer. Okay, so he sent us an advocate. Now, the Greek word is paraclete, not to be confused with parakeet. It's not a bird, okay? It is a defense attorney, someone to plead our case for us because we are all guilty and doomed to failure. The first person who needs to be pleaded to is you. Okay? Because you know better than anybody else in the whole world that you are guilty of failing to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know it about you. You can also know it about all the rest of us too. Okay? But the Holy Spirit first needs to plead his case to you. He comes to help you. First by enabling you to follow the truth of Jesus, enabling you to be obedient. Now, I'm going to tell you a bad part about this. If you want to help somebody be obedient, the first thing you got to help them see is their error. Okay, now, I don't know about you, but I prefer to think of myself as perfect. And when somebody starts picking on me by showing me what I did wrong, I don't necessarily like it. But that is the job of the advocate. The first thing he's got to help you do is understand your crime. And sometimes he uses other people to help you with that. Mm-hmm. And don't get angry at them when they're telling you the truth. Okay? Because they're working for the advocate. The Holy Spirit of God. So first thing he does is convict us of our crime. And he needs to do that by showing it to us and then leading us into truth. Truth, folks, is not what you think, not what I think, not what the world tells you. Truth is what the Scripture says. So he points to your error and he shows it to you. And then he removes it from you as far as east is from west. And he does it by washing you in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He sets you free. And then he promises he won't go away. Now, what that means is he's going to prick your conscience. Every time you want to go off and do your little thing again, every time you think you can go over there and get away, every time you are tempted to be disobedient to the words of Jesus, there's going to be this little voice in your head that says, it's the advocate that Jesus prayed the Father would send. And guess what? It says in the text that he is going to be there forever. Nothing you can do will chase him away. He's going to stay with you forever. The seal upon your heart of the Father's love. He will not abandon you. He will not give you up. He's going to keep after you through the advocate forever. So his first job is to strengthen us so that despite our nature, we can willingly seek to be obedient to the teaching of Jesus with all of our heart. Secondly, he gives us the power to obey because it's not in us. It comes from him, and he never goes away. But this advocate only comes to those who choose to love Jesus. The world does not choose to love Jesus. and therefore does not receive the promised advocate, the Holy Spirit. Jesus says they don't even see the Holy Spirit. They don't acknowledge their need for him. They think that they are just fine. They think that they can disregard the teaching of Jesus and be perfectly okay. They think that they can manage their life on their own, but they can't. Oh, they might do all right here. I mean, Ryan in the show I mentioned earlier sells a property and makes $500,000 commission. Thinks he's top of the world. But I can tell you, after yesterday, when he arrives at the gates of heaven, he's going to find out he didn't do so well after all. Oh, he'll look good for 70, 80 years. But in eternity, he will be entirely broken. The world needs Jesus too. For without Jesus, there is no hope. None. Now the text says that Judas, not the one who betrayed Judas, but the other disciple who was named Judas. It's really hard when you have like three Chucks in a congregation. You never know which one. Actually, the Chuck that was on there that was supposed to pray, but he stepped in so well and did such a good job, he gets to do it next service too. Okay? The other Judas spoke up for the disciples. Now, if you've been following these sermons with me over the last several weeks, this is what happens. It was Thomas first, and he encouraged them, and now they're all asking their questions because they're aware that Jesus has given them important teaching. He's entered into dialogue with them. They're talking about the stuff that matters in their life. So Judas speaks up for the disciples. They're confused. If love for God required obedience to the teaching of Jesus, if no one could come to the Father except through Jesus, if no one could successfully follow Jesus except by the aid of the Advocate, why not just send the Holy Spirit to everybody? That's what he asked. And that's what the world says. Oh, it's impossible for us. God will just open the gates of heaven and let us in. I heard a sermon this morning, another preacher, who said that there was a poll taken in the United States recently, and almost all Americans, 99% of Americans, believe that there is a heaven and hell. However, the great majority of believers don't think hell is really necessary because everybody goes to heaven, except maybe for Hitler and Stalin. No. Okay. So if indeed the world is right, everybody goes to heaven, what God needs to do is just send the Advocate to everybody. That's what Judas is saying. Makes sense to him, right? Just send the Advocate to everybody. And Jesus says, that's because it's all a matter of personal choice. See, you cannot be compelled to love someone. You have to choose to love them. You can't even be compelled to love Jesus. You have to choose to love Jesus. And if you choose to love Jesus, you will want to be obedient to his teachings. And to do that, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. But if that's not your intention, and you can't even remember what church you were baptized into, why bother the Holy Spirit? You'll need the advocate, the Holy Spirit. If you want to demonstrate your love for Jesus, because you have chosen to love Jesus, which means to obey him. And when you make that choice, the Holy Spirit will rush upon you and fill you and remain with you forever. But Jesus makes it clear. It's all up to you. It's your choice to love Jesus or not to.